Today will be our last sermon in our series on the kings and the people of Israel. So we will read excerpts from 2 Chronicles 34 to 36, and I will read then a few verses from John chapter 2. 2 Chronicles 34 to 36 is a narrative of the last few kings of Israel and the destruction of Jerusalem and of the Jerusalem temple. So from 2 Chronicles 34, verses 1 and 2, and this was part of the sermon that I'm sure Pastor Calvin Malcor preached a couple of Sundays ago. The word of the Lord. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Verse 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight at Carchemish on the Euphrates, and Josiah went out to meet him. He did not listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, but came to fight in the plain of Megiddo, and the archers shot King Josiah. 24b. And he died and was buried in the tomb of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah also uttered a lament for Josiah. Chapter 36, verses 1 and 2. The people of the land took Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, and made him king in his father's place in Jerusalem. Jehoahaz was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. Then the king of Egypt deposed him in Jerusalem and laid on the land a tribute of 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold. 4b. But Necho took Jehoahaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Verse 5. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in chains to take him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried part of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his palace in Babylon. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. In the spring of the year, King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the precious vessels of the house of the Lord, and made his brother Zedekiah king over Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. All the officers of the priests and the people likewise were exceedingly unfaithful, following all the abominations of the nations, and they polluted the house of the Lord that he had made holy in Jerusalem. Verse 15. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent persistently to them by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose against the people, until there was no remedy. Verse 17. Therefore he brought up against them the king of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword of the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men or virgin, old man or aged. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burned the house of God, and broke down the wall of Jerusalem, and burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious vessels. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons until the establishment of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Verse 22. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all these people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. And from John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, the word of the Lord. So the Jews said to him, to Jesus, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear congregation of Christ, this morning we end our sermon series on the kings and the people of Israel. We began with the Israelites clamoring for a king, just as the other nations had kings. So the prophet Samuel warned them of all the evil things that their kings would impose on them. And Saul, the first king, fulfilled Samuel's warning of an evil king. God deposed him and installed David himself, a man after God's own heart. David was a righteous king, but he also committed the sins of adultery and murder, for which he wholeheartedly repented before God. His son Solomon was enthroned after him, and he ushered in a golden age of Israel. God made him the wisest man who ever lived, and gave him power and riches beyond imagination. But Solomon also committed adultery with many foreign women who seduced him to worship their pagan idol gods. And because of this, of his sins, God judged his kingdom after he died. His wicked son, Rehoboam, with his corruption and overburdening the people with taxes, caused Solomon's servant Jeroboam to lead a successful rebellion of 10 out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jeroboam established the northern kingdom called Israel. Only one tribe, Judah, was left of Solomon's kingdom. King David's dynasty, beginning with Rehoboam, consisted mostly of evil kings, with a few exceptions, such as what we learned with Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, and Hezekiah. These righteous kings destroyed pagan temples and idols the people built in the high places of Judah with the help of their evil kings. After Hezekiah, only one other king, Josiah, reigned in righteousness. He destroyed the idol gods and their temples. When the priests were repairing and restoring the temple, they found the book of the law of Moses. So Josiah commanded the priests to teach the lost book to the people, and the people then worshipped and obeyed the words of the Lord. But Josiah, like most of the former kings, also disobeyed God's commandments not to go to war against Egypt, and this disobedience cost him his life. From Josiah came four more kings who were evil, and so caused the people to be evil, and caused the cup of God's wrath to finally overflow against his own people, the Jews. These four were Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. We will briefly outline the wicked, turbulent, and chaotic reigns of these four last kings of Judah. And so this morning our theme is the wrath of God rose against his people under three headings. And I will refer you to the sermon notes. And also in the back there is an article from Ligonier Ministries, Ezekiel Sees a New Temple. So first, the fall of Jerusalem under four evil kings. So the annals of these four evil kings are narrated in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The king who ascended to the throne after Josiah was actually Josiah's second son, Jehoahaz, not Jehoiakim, the eldest son. Josiah believed that the younger son was more capable than his older brother. However, he reigned for only 3 months after he provoked Necho, the king of Egypt. The Pharaoh attacked Jerusalem, captured Jehoahaz, and brought him as a captive to Egypt, where he died. Judah also had to pay a heavy tribute to Egypt. Necho then installed Jehoiakim, the older brother, as their puppet king of Judah. He was a wicked king who reigned for 11 years. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was growing in power while Assyria was waning. Jeremiah warned Judah to repent of their sins, or else God would send the mighty Babylonians against them in Jeremiah chapter 5. But instead of repenting, Jehoiakim and his false priests sent Jeremiah to prison and later to a muddy well to die. Babylon defeated Egypt in a great battle in Carchemish in 605 BC. This is in modern-day Syria. Jeremiah's prophecy was then fulfilled when the Babylonians invaded and conquered Jerusalem and made Jehoiakim a puppet vassal king. Nebuchadnezzar also looted part of the temple and, together with many young men, brought them back to Babylon. This was the first wave of exiles to Babylon. 7 years later, in 598 BC, Jehoiakim again rebelled against Babylon, and this time he died after he was defeated and captured. Again, many young men were exiled as a result. The next evil king Jehoiachin did not fare better than his uncle Jehoahaz. He also reigned for just 3 months before the Babylonians again laid siege to Jerusalem. To appease the Babylonians, he gave himself up, including all his households and thousands of high government and military officials and rich nobles. Only the poor were left behind to tend the farms. In his place, Babylon installed another puppet vassal king, whom they called Zedekiah. He too was a wicked king, as we read in 2 Chronicles 36. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had him swear to God. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. He led the officers, priests, and the people of Judah into abominable sins that the surrounding nations committed, even desecrating the holy temple. In chapter 36, verses 15 and 16, so we read a summary of how God dealt with the people in compassion and patience by sending his prophets to warn them of impending judgment. But the people mocked, despised, and scoffed at the prophets, including Jeremiah. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy. God's compassion and patience ran out, and so he sent Nebuchadnezzar to Judah one last time in 586 BC. After a long siege of 3 years, the Babylonians finally destroyed Jerusalem's walls and burned the palaces and the temple to the ground. They looted all the treasures of the temple and the palaces. Zedekiah was captured, blinded, and together with tens of thousands of the Jews, he was deported to Babylon to serve the conquerors. 9 centuries before Jerusalem's destruction, in Leviticus 18, God warned the Israelites in the wilderness on their way to the promised land of Canaan. He said, "But you shall keep my statutes and my rules and do none of these abominations, the abominations of the nations, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For the people of the land who were before you did all of these abominations so that the land became unclean. So lest the land vomit you out when you make it unclean, as it vomited out the nation that was before you." So their obedience to God's laws was not going to save them from their sins. Rather, their tenure in the promised land was contingent upon their obedience to God's laws. So God was the landlord and they were the tenants. If they disobeyed God's laws, the land would vomit them out, just as the pagan nations will be vomited out of the land by the Israelites themselves. And therefore, the fall of Judah and Jerusalem to the Babylonians was the fulfillment of God vomiting the Jews out of the promised land of Judah. So secondly, the sins of the kingdom of Judah. Jeremiah and all of God's prophets from the time of King Saul to King Zedekiah warned and exhorted the people of Judah to repent of their sins. But they continually violated God's covenant laws given to them way back at Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments were a summary of God's moral requirements for his people, and the people, both Israel in the north and Judah in the south, disobeyed them all the way back to their wilderness wanderings on their way to the promised land. They violated the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. By worshiping and serving the gods of pagan nations in Canaan and other nations around them. Because they worship these pagan gods, they built wood, stone, and metal idols to them, disobeying God's second commandment against making images to worship them. The prophet Ezekiel condemned them in Ezekiel 20, saying, "Your fathers blasphemed me by dealing treacherously against me. They mocked, despised, and scoffed at, and even murdered God's prophets who proclaimed his word, breaking the third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." And because they worshiped the idol gods, they did not keep the Sabbath holy. Therefore, God rebuked them because they despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. In Ezekiel 22, verse 8. They did profit, a business for profit on the Sabbath. Isaiah exhorted them in Isaiah 58, 13, to call the Sabbath a delight and the only day and the holy day of the Lord honorable, not seeking your own pleasure. But because of their disobedience, God prophesied against them in Jeremiah 17, saying, "But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy, and not to bear a burden and enter the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem and shall not be quenched." Ezekiel also condemned the people, saying, "Father and mother are treated with contempt in you." Ezekiel 22:7. They did not honor their fathers and mothers, defying the fifth commandment. He also called Jerusalem in verses 22, verses 1 and 4, "the bloody city, guilty by the blood that you have shed, breaching the sixth commandment, you shall not murder." Their offense against the seventh commandment was appalling. In Ezekiel 22, verse 11, "One commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another lewdly defiles his daughter-in-law. Another in you violates his sister, his father's daughter. In wantonly disobeying the eighth commandment, you shall not steal." Ezekiel further condemns them in verse 12. "In you they take bribes to shed blood. You take interest and profit and make gain of your neighbors by extortion. But me you have forgotten, declares the Lord." The people would often swear by the name of God, "as the Lord lives," yet they swear falsely, Jeremiah 5:2, and slander to shed blood, Ezekiel 22, verse 9. Disregarding the ninth commandment, "you shall not bear false witness." Finally, in violating the tenth commandment, "you shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor," Ezekiel condemns them. "With lustful talk in their mouths, they act. Their heart is set on their gain." The prophet Micah also pronounced woes on those who covet fields and seize them, and houses, and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. This litany of sins committed by the people of Judah against God's commandments is like a habitual criminal's laundry list of heinous crimes. How is America doing today compared with Judah 26 centuries ago? Christians must acknowledge, lament, and repent of our nation's violations of God's commandments. We are all idolaters, worshiping money, fame, and power. We desecrate the Lord's day with our own pleasures. We dishonor our parents, especially politicians who advocated denying parents' approval before transgender surgeries and abortions, which is first-degree murder. We idolize sexual immorality. We try our best to steal by not working and being on welfare, depending on handouts from the government. We slander others for our own benefit. All of these crimes we do because we covet everything that is not ours. In the coming elections on Tuesday, let us remember to vote for those candidates who are least violators of these God's holy commandments. Finally, God charged a pagan king to rebuild his temple. So as much as Judah's destruction is lamentable and seemingly hopeless, the epilogue of 2 Chronicles offers hope for God's people. In verses 22 and 23, Cyrus, king of Persia, who conquered the Babylonian Empire, proclaimed that the Lord, the God of heaven, has charged him to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Therefore, he allowed all Jewish exiles who desired to help build a new temple and rebuild Jerusalem to go back to the promised land of Canaan. This completed the 10 Sabbath years, 70 years of captivity that Jeremiah prophesied in verse 21. 50,000 Jews led by Zerubbabel therefore traveled back to Judah and built a second temple in Jerusalem, completing it in 515 BC, 71 years after the first temple was destroyed. God's love and compassion towards his chosen nation did not vanish. With the return of the exiles from Babylon, the line of kings continued until Jesus, the son of David, the Messiah, was born in Bethlehem of Judah. The Lord used a pagan king to accomplish his purpose of saving his chosen nation, the church, made up of all who believe in his son, Jesus Christ, as their savior from sin, from Satan, and from death. So dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when King Herod became governor of Judah, he restored the second temple to its glory. It took him 46 years to complete the restoration. This was the glorious temple in Jerusalem that Jesus prophesied would be destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, 40 years after he was crucified on the cross. But Jesus, early in his ministry, also prophesied that he will rebuild a temple in 3 days. The Jews were astonished at his saying, for it took them 46 years to restore the temple to its glory. What they did not know was that Jesus was not referring to the Jerusalem temple. Rather, he was referring to himself, who would be in the grave for 3 days before he would be resurrected. So his disciples realized this only after his resurrection, because the Holy Spirit gave them this knowledge. 2,000 years ago, Jesus started building the true temple of God, the church, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Today, this temple is still being rebuilt, not in Jerusalem, but in all the nations. And when the fullness of time comes, Christ will return from heaven and take his chosen people to the new heaven and new earth. Many Christians believe and teach that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, but the scriptures say otherwise, for there will be no temple there, for God, his son, and his people will be the temple there in the new heaven and new earth. forever and ever. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you have forgiven us of all our sins in Christ because of your love and compassion towards us, your chosen people. We long for his second coming, our blessed hope, that you might deliver us from sin, Satan, and death, and from all your enemies who hate you and your people. And as we wait for that day, help us live lives in obedience and trust in your holy laws and spread the gospel in our community, our nation, and into all the nations. In Christ's name, amen.